anything for folks that you like. But I'm burdened for some of the children here. I mean, I want to help you, and God will help you. But we must have a concern one for another if we help each other. But it's great to be here. I'm about 1,200 miles back through the country to where I live in the country. I live in the country myself. I've been out there 30 years on a little a couple acres in the country. I started when I was a very young man. I wasn't raised in religion. I didn't know anything about church. But I got converted on East 29th Street in Oklahoma City. And I started, it's been 47 years ago and better when I started. I can't believe it's got by that fast. I like to be around young people, although I'm not young. I was once, but I love young people. And I'm so happy you have this school and have this fine brother to be over the school to help you. All of us have something we can do. You're very important. Each one of you is just as important as the next one. And the Lord has something for you in life. It's sad to have to tell you, but what you need in life more than anything else, you will not get from school necessarily or books necessarily. I want to talk about one word this morning. It's got three letters in it. Could anybody guess what I'm going to talk about? Now, I know that's a... But it's a well-known word. No, that's good too. Now, try it again. It has to do with personality. That's it. Just twice. Young people are pretty sharp. Did you know that, brother, there? Therefore, they may not prove it on their book work sometime, but amen, amen. I like it. God loves you. But I'm particularly disturbed about some of your prayer requests. I know what's behind your prayer requests. Sometimes young people's prayer requests are very serious requests. It's an honor for me to get to come talk to you. You're not the first to... school that I have talked to in my travels, but it's great to be able. I would have come here if I'd have had to woke L.D. Savage up this morning to bring me, but I didn't. He is already up. But I'd have got here if I was late tonight, Brother Savage. I'd have got here because to me, you are very, very important. The devil has plans for you. Not only God, but the devil does. He would like to ruin you, but God will help you. And I want to talk about that word God this morning. It's too great for anyone to deal with, really, to talk about and try to explain. And I will not be able to do justice to what I'm going to say. I mean, I won't be able to help you with it like I want to. But in Genesis 1, you know that Genesis is the book of beginnings, don't you? The book of beginnings. The book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. I enjoyed your testimonies and your singing. I thought it was good myself. I'm going to read a little to you. I used to read real fast, but since I've got older, I've slowed down. And if you can read with me, that'll be good. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. How many verses have we read? Who? 11. All right, then we'll be at the 12th verse. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Evening and morning were the third day. God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, and a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and rule over the day and over the night, divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. The evening and morning were the fourth day, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Evening and morning were the fifth day. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. You'll notice that said quite a lot in this chapter, and it was so. And you'll notice it was good. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind. Everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, God saw that it was good. I'm in the 26th verse. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm going to stop right there and talk to you just a little while about God. I don't know just how long I'm supposed to talk, brother. I don't want to go far further than you. Seems like I can put in your hair some young man saying, I hope you go to dinner time. Teaching is not like preaching. When preachers preach and they're anointed a lot of times, and I do occasionally seem to get anointed, it's more interesting. But teaching's kind of a drag sometimes. But it's what pays off when you need to know what to do. You remembered what you were taught, and that establishes you and helps you to make it. It's not as interesting sometimes as preaching a revival is, but it's so necessary to be taught, to be taught. The difference in the man that wears the suit that doesn't get dirty sometimes is what he remembers. At home where I live, I was raised in the oil field. I made a welder in the oil field. I used to be a mechanic. I used to run a Green Light Auto store and various things I did as I grew up because we were poor. I worked 42 hours a week and went to school every day. So what you learn, what you remember that you've been taught will be a great help to you. And lots of time in a time of distress and trouble, what you remember that you learned will help you get out. But we want to talk about the word God a little while this morning. You have to have an experience with God. Be acquainted with God. I respect all people that learn and people that teach and folks that have knowledge. But you just don't get this. From our modern society, you just can't get what I'm talking about. You must be acquainted with God. There's a difference. You have to get this in altars and be reading the Bible and praying. You have to get God different than anything else in the world. I notice in the beginning the word God appeared, the very first thing. I do not understand all about God. I don't understand a lot of things about the Lord's work. But you must not be a person that says, You cannot believe because you cannot see. The strongest powers that be are unseeable. Maybe you can think of some of them. Electricity. You know, if you're here and you don't believe in what you can't see, I could take a lady's hairpin and stick it in that wall plug over there and let you hold it, and we'll make a believer out of you real quick on what you can't see. Yes. I was checking on my old pickup at home the other day, and I got a hold of one of the wires. I told you, as a mechanic, I seeing if it's firing on every cylinder. It was firing all right, because when I got a hold of it, it fired me just like it did the cylinder. God is unseeable, but it's like the wind that blows. It'll blow you down in Oklahoma. Has been known to roll the railroad track up with tornadoes. You ever see a piece of railroad track? It's good to make an anvil out of, something you can hammer stuff on. Well, the wind has been known to roll it up like a roll of barbed wire. How? Don't ask me. God. Remember, as you live, you'll meet a lot of things and a lot of people, but remember there's a God. He's like thoughts and love and the wind and the atoms. Unseeable, but very real. I never knew we'd had any atoms, did you? Until they blew them up. Made the atomic bomb. I didn't know there was any such thing as atoms in the air. They're everywhere. We'll talk about God a while. He created the sun. Did you know this morning, just east of us, wherever east is, I think I'm pointing east, I don't guess I am. I don't know where east is. But anyhow, wherever east is, which way is east? This way. East of us a few miles. The time is an hour later there yet. But at 12 o'clock today, you could call from that time zone to where I preached on the West Coast in California, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, and talk to Jim Wiley there at Farmersville, say, Jim, is the sun shining here? He'd say, yes, it is, Brother Moore. Well, I'd say it's shining here. God made the sun. And that one sun lights hundreds of thousands of square miles of area at one time. Just one light. God. When people make fun of God to you as you go up, and they will. And one of my young people in my church goes to college at Norman. And the professor got up the other day, my brother, and talked about all them hallucinations that Paul, who was supposed to be an apostle, had. All the hallucinations that Paul had. So you can be sure there will be people in highly educated circles that'll practically stick their tongue out at the word God. But remember, think about God's Son. They didn't make that. And that's a miracle. You know how we correct our timepieces in our world? In London, England, at the Big Ben clock, and all over the world. Do you know how we correct them if they get a second off? By the sun. Do you know how men at sea find out where they're at a lot of time? By the position of the stars, the moon, and the sun. God. He made the stars. When you go out at night and look up at the stars, remember Abraham looked at them. They weren't destroyed in the first destruction that destroyed the world, the flood. The stars that you look at, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Adam looked at them. God. Nobody. You know what? Mr. Harvey told us a few weeks ago, young folks, do you know what Paul Harvey said? How many ever heard Paul Harvey? I tell you, he's a smart man. You've got to say that, haven't you? He said the Big Bang Theory is out the window. You youngest ones may not know, but you older young people know. But the Big Bang Theory, the evolution theory that the world, you know, was caused by a big explosion and everything, you know, fell off into different areas. But Paul Harvey said, since we have gotten all this knowledge about going into outer space, and we've got giant cameras on those things we send up there that photograph space, he said they have
become aware that we have galaxy after galaxy out there. Its own stars and its own moon and circulating around. And they have decided that nothing could be so perfect and so exact. You know, when you go somewhere and see something in a museum, or you go somewhere and see something on display in a store, folks may not be nowhere near that made that. But when you walk through there and see that, you say there's been somebody here. Somebody made that. You bring, my wife likes to go to flea markets and to garage sales, and she pays a 25 cents or 50 cents or a dollar for things and brings them back. Little doilies and all kinds of cups and saucers and things. And Lester, she said, this here's probably 100 years old right here. And you are amazed at what you see somebody made. They're not here, but they've been here. So it is with God. He's created the stars and put them in their place, so until now, that old theory of things just in being is out the window. Do you know that scientists have agreed? Now, Brother Moore won't tell you anything that he don't pretty well have the instruction or information on. I'm not a blowhard. Did you ever hear anybody speak you thought they just talking through their hat? I have. You know, they didn't know what they're talking about. Like that old man, boys, where I was off hunting in Colorado, and he said he shot his 30-06 rifle, and the bullet just went that far under that deer's head standing away over yonder. Pretty sharp eyes, weren't they? Just that far under. I looked at my boys when we got away, and I said, boys, do I look like I would believe a story like that? Why did he tell me that? We must know what we're saying, because if we don't, what we're saying will get us in a jam. And I'm trying to be very careful about what I tell you young people, but you're in a world of teachers that are far from God. You will have to go to college probably where people will stick their tongue out at the word God. And the day we're in, people are far from God, but there's a God. And when you're by yourself and you think and you look and you wonder, remember, God in the beginning made the world. And Mr. Harvey's been an assist to us about that, by the things he's reported along with a bunch of others. But scientists now say that we're all the descendants of one woman. Scientists have finally admitted, well, all scientists are not a godless people. Werner von Braun is dead, but he was the head of our space agency. He said, it's easier for me to believe that I shall be again than it is for me to believe I could be to start with. Well, I can believe that. Amen? God. He made the fowls of the air. I saw one on the way over here. A hawk stopped right up there in the air. Folded up and plunged to the earth. Got his breakfast out of the weeds. A mouse. He spotted that. I watched him. It's impossible to live here. And behold what I'm going to talk to you a while about. The things God made without knowing there's a God. I sat on a elk stand and deer stand in the snowfield mountains of Colorado. Here come a white fox. White as the snow. White as the snow. I had the wind in my favor. I sat still as a stump, and that thing come right up to me. And when it saw me, it just froze. Trying to sniff me. It never did get no scent because I had the wind in my favor. And it just creeped around like as if to say, if you don't mind, I'll leave. It didn't run. It just slowed, looking back as it went. What it was trying to get me to do was move. I have stalked deer in the woods and stood as far from here to that boy at the one. And I've had them say, trying to get me to react, you see. That's what that deer is trying to do. God. When you're by yourself and there's nobody someday, under a tree or at home or in the yard or at night, you'll sense the presence of God. Now, he doesn't just walk the streets and shake hands with people, but wouldn't it be a wonderful event if you ever shook the President of the United States' hand? Wouldn't that be something, if common as I am, and maybe as you are, that if you could walk downtown and there would be the President of the United States and shake your hand? Well, he's just a man. And that would be wonderful. You'd write that down. If Africa, if you had your picture made with him. How many has got a picture of themselves with the President of the United States? Nobody here? It's a privileged person that has a picture hanging in the house of them and the President. And then folks think that if there's a God, he ought to be bumping into them before they go. And he ought to just be introducing himself to them. He's God. And there is a way to find him. But his way is by faith. And you can touch God. And one day we will be in the presence of God himself. But he runs his world like he wants to. That he made the fowls. We're going to talk a while about some things God made. Yes, not yesterday, but two or three days before I got on this plane to come here, 150 at least geese flew over my house. And then I look back and here come another bunch with a 200-300 in it. They was calling to each other. Do they travel by radar? It was cloudy. There was no sun to look at to see where the east was or the west was. But they are on course. I don't know how to explain how a goose travels. But they're moving because it's time to move. God made them. And they get signals from their maker. He's made them so they can get signals from the earth. Long before we invented radar, we had animals and fowls traveling by vibrations from the earth and by scent. Occasionally, geese will get confused. And at night in Missouri, while in a meeting on a dark, cold night, I heard them overhead and it was cloudy. And they were calling to each other as they flew around and around over that little town in Missouri. Somebody say, poor lost geese. How many did you ever meet laying out in the front yard starved to death because they lost and died? They may have been confused a little while, but because there's a God that made those things and created those things, after a while they'll get their bearings and go on south. God is real. And I'm sent into the world to preach about him. I've known that all my life. When I was a little boy, didn't know God, wasn't raised in church. The Lord's Spirit dealt with me. He deals with folks. I notice in my yard we have mockingbirds. And I call it Mockingbird Hill. They nest there every year and raise their young in my yard, a bunch of them. They'll wake you up in the morning, mimicking every bird they've heard, making every sound. To me, it's enough. You know, I don't know how you are, but we have a lot of people, they just believe what somebody said. But that's not, there's something else besides what just folks say. There's God. You must get God by praying to him and believing in him. You just can't get it from our modern day world. But there's a God. And a boy or a girl that grows up, got good sense like you have, you know. There's something else to that. What makes that bird sing all those sounds? God. God. It's God. In our country, the God that made all the fowls created a little bug that's got a light on the tail end of it. Firefly. And he turns that light on and off at night when it flies. How many ever saw one of them? You up here too? We're talking about God. You won't get this from books. You'll get this from the book. But the presence of God has created all things. And it's not easy to understand all that God has done. But just remember, there's a God. There's a God. And I noticed I was preaching in a place and I was talking about miracles and didn't have any air conditioning. The door was open, the window was open, and we just had fans running here and yonder, hot weather. And while I was preaching about miracles, here come one up the aisle. It was one of these bugs with his light turned on and off. And it flew over my head and landed on the wall behind me. And I was preaching about miracles, and I reached up, and it crawled off, Brother L.D., on the end of my finger. I turned it to the audience, and its little head looked at me, and had its back to the audience, flashed its light on and off. Seemed like its little head looked at me as it said, "Is that enough?" I mean it. And when I got through talking about it, it flew off the end of my finger and flew down the aisle and just give them a demonstration for it. Went out, turned the slide on and off a time or two. If we could learn where that power comes from, we could have lights on our boats, airplanes, cars, and everything. We wouldn't have to have a battery even if we could figure out that system. God. When the old professor said down where I come from, "Has anybody seen God today?" Nobody answered in his class. Well, he said, "Let it be affirmed then that there is no God." A young man in the back said, "Has anybody seen the professor's brains today?" "Let it be affirmed that he has none." God, unexplainable, immortal, eternal Jehovah God. He made the fish in the sea. You know anything about fish? I don't know a whole lot, but I know there's one that's got a light right below his chin. I checked Brother Moore out now. There's a fish that has a light right below. It's in there. Now don't ask me how it works. I don't even understand all about the moon. And it was discovered several years ago, and that's the way it gets what it eats. It has the ability to cause this fluorescent-looking light under its chin to shine through its skin, and those little minnows are attracted to that. When they are, it gets in one. I went to the to Fort Worth, Texas, out to the zoo, and they had all these fish in this aquarium, and went in there, and a fellow took hamburger meat and pressed it against the glass that far above the water where these little fish was in this big tank. He, with his finger, he'd stick that hamburger meat, raw hamburger meat, to that glass. And these little fellows would run up there in that water and tilt their body back and squirt water and knock that hamburger meat off that glass and then eat it. I'm talking about God. We've talked about the sun, moon, and stars. We haven't had time to deal with any of it hardly. We've talked about geese and hawks and mockingbirds and fireflies, and now we're talking about fish. God. When you can't explain it, you could very well be close to God. But remember, with all your good teachers, all your teaching, you can't just get this by listening. You must pray before you get this power of God. Those fishermen were fishing in a lake out there one night, and one had a cigarette in his hand hanging over the boat, and it kept going out. He looked at it, it's wet. He said, "What is going on here?" They haven't been discovered but just the last few years. God is still showing his wonders and making folks wonder. They saw a school of fish in the water. And the old fisherman said, "Well, what is going on?" He held that lit cigarette down over the water, and them little fish had squirt water and hit the end of that cigarette. He said, "Well, what is going on? Do you know, you've heard of the fireflies that I just told you about and other bugs? Those little fish in that water at night and in the day knock them bugs out that fly right above that water, knock them right out of the air. They can shoot as high as 10 to 15 feet pretty accurate with that stream of water, jet stream with that." You didn't know about them? Well, I didn't dream this up, and you know I'm telling you what I saw. And they'd stick that hamburger meat, they'd captured a bunch of them, and I'd watch them. They'd just swim up there, and then they'd tilt their little body back like you're aiming your gun, and knock and eat that when it fell in the water. That stream of water knocked that hamburger meat off that glass. I saw that. God made, the Bible said, the great whales and the fish in the sea. Made all them great fish in the sea. It's impossible to talk about all that God has made. There's no way. But I'm simply talking to you about the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Do you know who you look like? God made you in His image. And the likeness of God created He them. Now, you didn't look like a baboon. Your kinfolks, your early great-great-great-great-greats on back to Adam did not resemble the ape or the tiger or the baboon or the elephant. God does not look like a baboon. God does not look like an ape. Now, you may bark like a dog, but you ain't a dog. I'm just amazed at the modern-day teachings that they try to cram down our students. The very idea in the world. I have kinfolks that resembles gorillas, but they're not gorillas. They never have been. Amen. I have kinfolks that have expressions sometimes that remind me of some animals I've seen. But why on earth any group of people on the earth would believe one 25-year-old boy by the name of Darwin that went around the world when he come back and said he seen some things swing from trees, had long arms like kinfolks, and he thought they'd come from apes that we did? Don't believe that. There's a God, and you are created, I've read to you from Genesis 1, in His image and the likeness of God. That's how you're made. Amen. God made you in His image. Amen. God bless you. I'm not just trying to preach against anything this morning, but I'm preaching for one word, God. Some writer said it's God in the middle of the ocean. He's God in the deep blue sea. He's God way up in heaven. He's God for you and me. And young man, young woman, as you live, and you look in wonder, and you will, because as we grow, we do, and especially when we're young, and all we see and hear. But remember, God. There's a God. I've watched what He made. Here some while ago, this happened. A man was washing his car in this drive, and his neighbor was over here washing his car. No fence between them. This neighbor's like in town. No fence between the yards. And this fellow was washing his car, and he heard something and looked around. And his dog it was laying down back here, had jumped up and run over on the neighbor's drive, and the neighbor's laying out on the drive. And the old dog was licking his face, massaging his face. I'm preaching on God this morning. He made the beast, and we're talking about a dog. That dog licked that face, and this man run in and called, and they got the ambulance, severe heart attack. They said if that dog hadn't massaged that man's face and licked that face, that man would have died. That's what they said. This came out over your news. If you didn't hear it, did Paul Harvey told this one. And if they got him to the hospital, he lived. They attributed his living to that dog. They said that dog massaging his face caused that stimulation somewhere in his body. They fixed him. I don't think they give him bypass surgery, but he got well. He come home, bought the dog a big steak. The dog had been blind for a long, long time. The dog could not see. The dog was blind. But some way or another, God that made that little dog even, that dog sensed that something by its nose or something, and rushed across that yard, blind, a blind dog. God. In Yellowstone Park, I was there many years ago. I saw over 50 bears and quit counting. Now you don't hardly see them in there, but you got dangerous. Folks made them dangerous, feeding them is what happened to them. But, you know, back there in Yellowstone, them grizzlies would go into hibernation every year. And they, big scientists and folks that study things like that, decided they'd solve that problem. They'd They'd get that so they could tell you exactly why they go into hibernation and how it works and how they get the signals and all that stuff. Well, they put beepers. They give them dope shots and put collars and beepers in the collars so they could hear that beep all the time, pick it up down there at the headquarters, beep, beep, beep from them bears. So they said, we'll study why they go into hibernation like you do. Those old bears would fix that place under that tree out there on the ridge somewhere. They'll dig them out of place. They know they'll dig them out of a big place where they're going to hibernate. And they said one day the barometer turned to flip and the snow fell and got deeper and deeper. And they said the bears will go into hibernation. The park is locked up. All of the park men, rangers said this is it. The way the barometer's acting, the snow got deeper. But the bears never left their feeding grounds. They just kept eating. I said, we don't understand. They didn't, but God. God. I'm going to stop talking about animals and tell you something about Indians. I heard a poor ignorant man who is a barber. Not all barbers are ignorant, just some of them. But this ignorant barber, he said, I've heard that old story how Indians could forecast the weather, but I never did buy that baloney. I never did believe that stuff. Well, I said, I didn't answer him. Sometimes Indians don't say nothing. They ain't supposed to. Sometimes you ain't supposed to. I didn't say nothing. But I said, in my mind, you're not a Choctaw. You're not a Cherokee. And you've never lived in the woods. And that was your livelihood. And that's all you knowed. You didn't have no factories. You didn't have nothing but your bow and arrow. That's the reason you could stand as still as a stump. And it is so that my Indian forefathers taught their boys to ease up and slap a deer right on the hip. You get the wind just right, and you walk on the ball of your feet like them Indians did. They tried to track Indians back home where I was raised, and an Indian walked backwards. He's got the time, and he's in front of you. He'll have you thinking he's going that way, and he's walking backwards on you. You couldn't hardly track one of them. At night, when you heard that whippoorwill, you say, that's whippoorwill. Now, it wasn't a lot of time. It was one Indian calling to another. They studied the face of the sky. They studied the face of the earth, and they could forecast whether my grandma could forecast weather better than the meteorologist we have in Oklahoma right now. Well, Brother Moore, that's not scripture. Yes, it is. Give us a sign, they said to Jesus. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He said, you can discern the face of the sky. In evening, you say, because of the way the sky looks, it'll be fair weather. In the morning, you say, because it's red and lowering, it'll be foul weather today. And so it is, he said. You can discern that. He said they could. You can forecast weather, he said. So I say the Indians could. But sometimes it's hard to understand, and because you don't, if you're not careful, you'll turn down the best deal. You know how many? I'm sure it happened in Oklahoma. Down on the street corner, one of them DJs got down there with $5 bills and $10 bills and $20 bills. Take a 10. Take a 10. Would you take a 10? Here, have a 20. He couldn't hardly give them away. Who believes that? That happened. An experiment. Here, take this $20 bill. Oh, go on. Nobody, he couldn't give them away. That's the way God is. He is so wonderful and surreal, and till folks just, it's hard to believe. Well, if you're going to have to see everything to believe it, you'll never believe in thoughts even. But let's get back to Burr. One day the wind blew again. That snow melted off. Them bears knew it would. The park superintendent didn't. But again, another snow come. Barometer turned another flop. And it fell till it's 3 foot deep. And when it got bad deep, and the wind was blowing hard enough to cover the grizzly's tracks as it walked in it, he started for his place of hibernation. He knew when the snow would get deep. He knew when the wind would blow till the snow would cover his tracks. Just a bear, yes, but God me. It's no wonder some boy says, Daddy, I feel that I ought to pray. It's no wonder some girl says, Mama, I'm going to pray. It's no wonder some boy like this one said to his daddy, I'm going to have to preach. Daddy tried to stop me. He didn't know nothing about God. He tried to stop me. There's something spiritual about you. God made you. What I'm talking to you about, there'll be people all your life try to talk you out of this. That old bear went into hibernation. He never goes the same day, hardly any year. Hardly any. They's going to get it down so they can explain it. They haven't got it down so they can explain it yet. But the old bear knows. So God made the fish and the fowls, the beast, made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And ever since I've been a little boy, I stand out there and I pick out something up there that looked like a man's face. I found a dipper. Did you ever see the dipper? Looks just like a dipper. Just like a dipper. Stars. Just happened? Just an accident? No. And someday while you live, if you haven't experienced it yet, you will have an experience that makes you know there's something beyond. There'll be something that makes you know there's something else. I was 18 years old when I went to the Outlaw Mountains of eastern Oklahoma, where I like to got shot hunting money. They had it buried down there. Outlaw named Bob Newsom buried it. But you know what? One night at Pond Creek, we in eastern Oklahoma, while in a meeting under Kolar lanterns and Aladdin lamps. We didn't have no electricity. We came down in that old Willis cart across that creek. The window was down on my side. I was 18 years old. I heard the angel sing. I listened. I say angels. I didn't see them. But I heard a melodious choir like I had never heard and have never heard since. I knew it was far, far away. I knew it was far, far above me. Oh, no, we didn't think there were no televisions in the world. About the only kind of radio you had is a battery sputting, popping thing. You couldn't hardly hear it. No, I wasn't hearing a bunch of having a party down the road. No, no, no. I'd fasted and prayed till I could reach around this arm with my fingers nearly. I heard the angels say, next night, same, I never told nobody. Next night, I'm telling you, I didn't tell nobody that. Same place in the road. Same thing. Far away. Well, there's a land of pure delight over there. Where faith is lost in sight over there. There'll be Moses to be seen. Viewing fields of living green. Mary will beat the tambourine over there. God. Don't leave God out of your plans. As you grow up, as you go through, keep God in mind. He made the fowls and the fish and the beast. And he can control any of it at any time he gets ready. Amen? You know, we have an illustration of that in the New Testament when the Lord come time to pay taxes. What would you think about anybody nowadays if it was time to pay taxes and they got out their fishing equipment? And they took off for the creek. And you say, well, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to pay our taxes. Pay your taxes. You look like you're going fishing. Well, that's what the Apostle Peter was told to do. And he went fishing. And I've talked to you a while from Genesis 1, just touched on a few things about God's creation. But he made all the fish in the sea. And you know, they obey the Lord. He gives that little dog a signal, and you know, you can teach dogs. You can. But how about God? He can speak to the fowls, carry Elijah his breakfast this morning. They obey God. Big old fish swallow Jonah. This old boy, we're able to train things, and then there's a God that's over all of us. He spoke to that little dog, and give it a signal. It leap in the air and turn a backward flip, land on its feet. I thought it was the cutest thing. He said it's the only dog in all of the whole wide world that can do it. And that it'd give a signal, every dog on that platform, the big ones, little dog, turn a backward flip in the air and land. He had trained every one of them. Great big ones, little bitty ones. Every one had turned a flip in Ireland on its feet. He's told us to start with, that's the only one in the world could do it. And he turned around and gave a certain signal, and they all began to do it. He had trained every. God speaks to roosters to crow. He speaks to fish. And when Peter went to pay his taxes, the Lord said, go and cast a hook in the water. To pay my, you know, that's as silly as some folks think going to church is to get help. There are people, I've got friends that are spending dollar after dollar down home going to psychiatrists and psychologists. I'm not saying that all those people are no good. I'm not saying that they're all crooks. But I am saying that the majority of the people that go will not get the help they need. They need to consult with God. I don't want to sound smart. I'm not a great counselor, but I've actually counseled and dealt with people that God brought out that psychologists and psychiatrists did nothing for and could not help. Why? Because they left G-O-D out. You're spiritual. So much so that you cannot understand yourself. Some of you boys and girls at your age even are having problems with your own self. You cannot understand. Remember, there's a God. It may be the Spirit of the Lord dealing with you. I've met young people that were to be preachers, that would be singers, that would be missionaries, that would just be great good helpers in the home church, but they were different, and folks didn't understand them. God was dealing with them. It was so in my life. People in my folks, they said I was crazy. Do I act crazy? They said I was. If I had to believe what they said, I could have had to say I'm crazy. Anybody I talk to, say I'm a little off. I'm a little off. But I wasn't. It was God. It's hard to understand the Lord when He deals with you. I probably talked too long, brother. I just talked to these young people. So I had all the older folks, and I love old folks, you know, because I'm old myself. But children, there's a God. Amen. He walks the highest mountain. He walks the hill. He walks the stormy waters when the night is still. Standing in the trees in Arkansas was a man, Charlie Long. He's the one that screwed the wagon wheel taps off and greased the wagon seats, and the wheels fell off on the way home from church, and the saints got grease all over the clothes. That's Charlie. Charlie Long. They burnt the church down. Charlie was behind that. Charlie's the one that rolled the wagon wheel down through the church. Well, it was an outside tabernacle, and they were having camp meeting under it. Back in the dark, he brought a wagon wheel, and the saints is all kneeling, praying around, babies laying on pallets, and he rolled that wagon wheel down through that. See what they can do with that. He didn't believe in God. God rolls wagon wheels, did you know it? Rolled that thing right down through them saints, and it just went down there and leaned over against a bench and stopped, never hit nobody. Charlie couldn't hardly believe that. He said, there's something happening here. The next night, he stood out in the pine trees, out in the dark, listening to them saints over there. Jesus walked through the woods. God. Charlie, give me your heart. No, he said, I don't want religion. Give me your heart, Charlie. I want you to be saved, Charlie. I'm Jesus Christ. I died for you. I died for you. Do you know I was at Charlie Long's death? Charlie got saved. Long before he died, Charlie got saved. God, don't be all tore up too bad about that deals with you, that speaks to you. If you have some strange experience as a young person and you seem like there's something dealing with you, well, don't get all tore up and shook up so bad you think you need to take a bunch of shots or pills. Come to the altar. Pray with the preacher, because God is not easily understood. Dealt with things He created this morning and dealing with you. He spoke to a fish that swallowed a man. He spoke to a fish and it, I don't know whether it was a sunken ship down there had that money in it and he went down and scooped up some of it or not. And I've never understood how the fish could have bit the fish hook and still had the money in his mouth. But Peter pulled up a fish and in its mouth, opened its mouth, and there was the money to pay the debt. God. We have recorded in Washington here we have recorded in our records experiences of men that just have to be written unexplainable. Did you know that in World War II, we had a submarine that surfaced with his periscope? It looked around and it surfaced. All of a sudden, they spotted enemy planes, and it's a standing rule in those subs. They dive. And that conning tower there, it has a door under it and a door at the top of it. And if the man doesn't get down through, that bottom door shuts to keep the rest of them from flooding with water. And then they have a pump that'll pump this out that he's still in. Shuts that top door and that pump will pump that out, but they got to dive. They dove. And this man in there started down that bottom door, flipped too. He couldn't go on. Well, that's the reason. That's the standing orders. I'm going to call his name George. It happened. And here he was, and water flowing in on top of him. And he had a screw here. You turn it, pull that up or lay it down and seal it. And it cross-threaded. Water coming up on him fast, real fast. He said, I'm gone. He said, a voice said, George, reverse the screw. He audibly heard it. He turned the screw back, and when it did, the pressure of the water corrected that lid and that thread, and he turned it down. Water was up. They turned the pump on down and pumped it out. They knew he's up there. Let him on down. When he got out, he looked at the man in charge and the rest of the men on that submarine, said, who was that hollered, reverse the screw, George? Each face paled as he asked him. Not a one, not a man in there said that. God. He doesn't seem to walk the streets and introduce himself to everybody, but once in a while he does an earth vibrator that makes folks say, there's a God. There's a God. I have been where he wasn't, and I wondered why he wasn't. I have been when I sensed that he was there, and I said, folks, God is here. Amen. More astounding and dumbfounding and more vibrating than the presence of Douglas MacArthur. They tell me he could walk into a room of drunk soldiers and it'd put near sober everyone in there when they said, Douglas MacArthur's here. God is here. Remember, God can put what you need in a fish's mouth. Amen. Y'all believe in financial miracles? I do. When I was bad, bad sick for a year, had no income, hardly any. You, people praying here and people praying everywhere, miracle after miracle happened all during that year. We needed $300 one day. We never wrote nobody, told nobody. I didn't say anything to be about it. She prayed and said, God, would you speak to somebody to send us that $300? In the state of Ohio, I wouldn't know them if I met them in the road. I do not know the people. Here come a letter, you guessed it, from Ohio with $300 in it. No writing hard at all. Just a brother said, me and wife felt led of God to send this to you. Isn't that wonderful? God. I'm going to have to stop. There's no end to talking about God, but just want to talk to y'all a while about God. You'll be talked to about so many things in life till it's enough to run you goofy. Don't get too interested in things that have no value to you. Amen? What do you mean, Brother Moore? Let me illustrate. I heard a fellow on the radio, he said, when I'm not playing tennis, I'm talking tennis. And when I'm not talking tennis, I'm reading tennis. Before he got through talking about tennis, he had me wore out on tennis. But it was just day and night and night and day, breakfast, dinner, and supper. Did you ever get around anybody that talked about one thing till it just wore you out with it? Let's eat tennis. Tennis, tennis, tennis. Tennis, tennis. He was just full of it. I mean, it just had him eat up. I want to tell you something. Think on God. Don't run you crazy. Believe in God. Trust in God. Have faith. When you meet others that makes fun of God, forget them. Go on with God. God has worked miracle after miracle after miracle in B&I's life. And we know there's a God. But the devil, I don't know how he's even got the nerve to try it. But he'll try to make you young people think, as you grow up, there's nothing to God. You cannot look at the sun, moon, and stars, the fowls that fly, the fish that swim, and the beast that walk. without knowing there's something out of the ordinary about all of this. What is it? God. I want to thank you, brother, for this opportunity to have been here.